of God, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May His blessing and His peace be upon all of us. Amen. I'm really sorry for that mishap. We needed the end. Okay. But hymn 11, let's stand and sing two verses of Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. In His faithfulness. Glorious, isn't that a beautiful, beautiful statement? I want to share with you a very familiar passage in the Bible at first, and it's the Ten Commandments. So you find it somewhere in Deuteronomy 5 or Exodus 20. But I had this thought about how does the law of God, the Ten Commandments, feature in the New Testament. And I thought to combine something about it. So when we think about that first commandment, what that says something about God and His greatness, and you will read in Matthew 4 verse 10, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Command number one. And then Paul started off in Romans, and he speak about a new generation, you know, isolated from God. And he says there's a downfall in humanity, and they exchange the glory of God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Well, that is strange. But it says you cannot create any other images. The third one says in Matthew 6, 9, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. In Hebrews, about the Sabbath, what about the Sabbath? It says in Hebrews 4, he speaks not as in day, but he speaks about the Sabbath rest. So the rest is to go into Christ. It is eternity. If you read Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So it says, well, what the Ten Commandments say, honor your father and mother. And then the sixth one says, in Matthew 5, we found that it says, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Oh, interesting, isn't it? In Matthew 5:27, we read, it's also in part of the Sermon of the Mount, it says, you have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The eighth one. Anyone, Ephesians 4, 28 reminds us, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their hands, own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Well, interesting. James 4:11 says, the ninth one, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister speaks against the law. The last one, Colossians 3:5, Paul makes a striking connection between the desires of humans and worship. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, evil desires and greed, which is adultery. This is a different approach. Let's pray. Father God, we stand guilty this morning when we look into this mirror of Scripture and realize we are sinners. We are the people who turns against you in the way we think, how we operate, how we counter life and people around us. We confess that we are sinners. We pray, Father, please forgive us so that we can honor you again, so that we again can see what we have said in the beginning, give praise to the Lord and proclaim his name and make known among the nations what he has done. Thank you, Father, that we can honor you. Thank you for this moment where a church, a congregation comes together and we want to learn and grow and explore your word and who you are, your identity, and we pray that you will just come and guide us through the Holy Spirit so that we can, like the man on the cross, say, remember me. Please remember me, Father. And therefore, when we are going to read this morning out of Scripture and explore your word, make it powerful in our lives so that we can understand who we are and how you call us in this world. Please bless our meeting this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so here is my confession. We don't have a text for this morning. I think it's the first time in my whole life that I'm standing in front of a congregation with no specific text. But you are going to read the Bible for sure. We are going to explore a certain concept. And so this is what we are going to do this morning. My main focus will be something in First Chronicles. The whole Chronicles in a certain sense. So if you do have a Bible, you can open up somewhere in Chronicles, the first Chronicles. Or maybe you can read with me in Genesis, because we will refer to Genesis as well. Or maybe Hebrews, because we will do that as well. Or maybe Luke or Matthew. But I will keep you busy this morning with this ultimate boring sermon. But it's necessary that we understand a few things about the Bible this morning. Let me tell you something about... So let's start off with Chronicles. If you do have a Bible, Chronicles. Just open it so that you at least can say we opened the Bible this morning, a Bible. So when you are in Chronicles, it is a summary of Chronicles is a summary of the whole first part of the Bible. If you read Chronicles, the first word in Chronicles is Adam. So Chronicles will take you right through this first part of the Old Testament till the death of David. So that is what it is. But it's important to understand a few things, as I've said. So I want to explain that. But there's an important part in Chronicles 24 that I want to read specifically, just a little concept. Okay. It's confusing, but we will come to a point at some stage. When you read the story of Jesus' birth And with Jesus' birth, there was another person born during that time. And his name was John the Baptist. Okay, you must stay clear now. You must listen. You must focus. Né? You must really focus. So, Chronicle starts with Adam. And I will say something about Chronicles 24. But in the beginning in Luke, it says the following. And Luke 1, verse 5, it says. I'm the pastor, I should get Luke. It says the following. In the time of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Now it's important. He belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Just keep it in mind. I will come to a point somewhere. Who was Abijah? What is this priestly line and divisions? So this is how Chronicles work. And this is a wonderful thing that I want to tell you this morning, how this whole Bible works. It is written by so many people in different places, in different stages, and all of them somehow connect certain points that come together in the Bible. It is just powerful to see it, how God inspired certain lines in the Bible, and that is what I want to demonstrate this morning. So if you read Chronicles and you start off, it is just a lot of the following. Well, I cannot pronounce these names. So it is the Japhethites, the Hamathites, the Semitites, the descendants of Hagar, the descendants of Keturah, the descendants of Sarah, Esau's sons. And you can read names and names and names of all the tribes and their descendants over and over again. So in First Chronicles, there are around 800 people's names. If you add all the lineages of these people, it's more than 1,200 people named in these lineages. Why? Should we read that stuff? Why is it important? Now we'll come back to it. So what happened is, if you go and read Chronicles, you will see Saul, the first king, he wasn't honoring God anymore, so he died. So David became the king, and the first thing that David did when he became the king was to bring back the ark. And I do have the picture of how we think the ark looked like. So it was within the ark. This was just a box. An ark is a box. Like the Ark of Noah, it was in box. The one was on the water, the other one was in the temple. But there was the laws of God was in there, and you see the angels covering it. So it was a holy, holy, holy thing. Do you remember that when they went through the desert, the Levites, the priests, they carried this ark all the way. So they followed the ark like we follow God. So the ark was the resemblance of the presence of God all the time. So it was really important. And what happened was, if you read the story of the kings of Israel, the Philistines stole the ark. And the one thing that David wanted to do was bring back the ark. And if you read chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles, he said, David, bring back the ark. So that was a very important thing that they wanted to do. But before we come back to that point, when you look at all the tribes of Israel, there were 12 of them, and all the divisions of it, and it spread through many passages and branches of that, we read that, and that's one thing that Chronicles and the writer of Chronicles want to do is, he wants to focus on two tribes. One is the Levites, Levi, and the other one is Judah. Okay. If you want to read more of them, go and read Genesis. So David was a descendant of Judah. And I will come back to that. The priests were descendants of Levi. It's interesting, the song that we have almost listened right through. They sing about Jesus, and they sing, he was not part of the priests. It's interesting that they mention that. Why would they mention that in the song? And so, it says, in 1 Chronicles 24, it says, David, the vision of the priest, Levi, it says in verse 3, he needs the help with the help of Zadok. Okay, I confuse you now, but it will come together, all of it. So why is there a priest called Zadok? So that is important. And because David, he divides them in groups. And when you read verse 10 in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 24, it says, and it's long list, it says, the first lot fell to Jerubbaal, and so on. And then the eighth line, or the eighth division was Abijah. Oh, that is the name that we've read in Luke 1 verse 5. Out of his line, descendants came the priest, the father of John the Baptist. Okay, I will come back to that point now. So the first and second Chronicles was at first only one book. And they think that Ezra is the author of Chronicles. And it is a summary of the Bible. Well, why? Why are they telling the whole story? These people went to exile. And now they are coming back. And what the writer is trying to do is to help them to understand what is our identity. And when he starts off with identity, he says it starts off with Adam. And it goes right through the Bible. And now all of a sudden, it's with David, the king of all kings. Now, it says, after 70 years in exile, after 70, can you think about 70 years ago in Namibia? It's a long time ago. I've tried to remember what is Daigoten in order the. 70 years ago, it was in that stage where they tried to create Etosha as a national park. That was 70 years ago, if I remember correctly. But many things happened in 70 years, and now they say, let's get a clarification about our identity. And then he says, let's clarify two tribes, Levi, and I think there's a, let me show where it is. Okay, it says, there was Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, 12 tribes, there they are. And we are going to focus on Levi and Judah. They are there, just in the middle. Levi and Judah. Okay, they are the two of them. And we'll come back to the others. So what happens is, Levi was the one where the priest originated from. If you go and read, they are the guys who never got any property in the biblical, in the tribes. They never received property. I just want to tell you a story because I believe it is more important than you ever thought it is. So, in 1 Chronicles 16, it says, listen, let's start off with these guys. And then it says, it was the father Amram, then Aaron, he was the first high priest, and Exodus, the story of Exodus begins with Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. Do you remember Moses? He was that in that little busy monkey thing. And his sister was watching over him, and the daughter of the Pharaoh found him there. So they are the siblings, Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. And from Aaron's line comes Zadok. Zadok is the guy that David asked for help in 1 Chronicles 24. But Zadok, Aaron was the father of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Okay? We will come there. Just stay put. Don't go anywhere. So when you read in Chronicles, David wants to bring back the ark. There was this one guy, and you can read about him in chapter 15. He touched the ark and instantly died. Uzzah. I think his name is Uzzah. That's Uzzah, but who you did in English say, don't get sure. And what happened is, he died instantly. Why? He was not a Levite. And in the chapter after that, David realized the Levites, they are the people who need to carry the ark. They are the people to bring all the order in the religion and how they do the offerings within the temple. And then, in the line of Zadok, it says, the eighth family line is Abijah. And Abijah, he was the father of out of the lineage of Zechariah, who becomes the father of John the Baptist. Okay. Let me go to John the Baptist. Wonderful story, because John the Baptist was busy spreading the gospel. Ask people to convert. Listen. Someone is coming, he says. Someone is coming. And in that moment, in that time, Jesus was born. And when you read John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist showed Jesus and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, that is just randomly named somewhere in the Bible. I will come back to it. When you read one of the most head-scratching moments in the Bible as well, is when we go to the lineage of Jesus. We are busy with the genealogies of the Bible and what is the meaning thereof. So when we read Jesus, He is the expected Messiah. Where is that prophesied? Already in Genesis 49, verse 10, when Jacob blessed his sons, he said, out of Judah, the ruler of the earth will come forever. So that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And through that whole process, David also played the role. So it is a spiritual ID card of our lives. When you read a genealogy in the Bible, it says, take the line, look the line of God, the line of God's story. So the point is, when you read the lineage of Jesus, it says, Adam, it ends off with Adam, the son of God. Right through, God is so busy from Adam to Jesus. And in the New Testament, they call Jesus the second Adam. But that is not what we are going to say this morning. So you will read, and sometimes it's confusing. And when you focus and you read all the genealogies that people are not doing, you will find two Zadoks. So the first Zadok you will find is this one that we read of. But in Jesus' line, there's also a Zadok. But that was not from the priest. So what is the Bible trying to do? It says, Jesus was not of the lineage of the Levites. He was not part of the priests. But Jesus was part of Judah. David wasn't part of the Levites. He needed them. He asked them for help. But he was part of the lineage of Judah. Why is this important? What's going on here? Hebrews also will say, Hebrews 7 verse 14 will say, Jesus was part of Judah. That was his lineage. But now, because Jesus was not a Levite, he could speak in the temple, but he could never do an offering or any sacrifices in the temple. That was part of the Levite line. So Jesus was never allowed to do any sacrifices in the temple. Interesting thing in the Bible is, somewhere in Genesis, Melchizedek appears. And later in the Bible, they will connect Jesus with this priest, Melchizedek. What is the word Melchizedek in Hebrew? It says, Melek is a king. And Susie, jy ken ons nou al die Hebreeus. And Tzedek is righteousness. So what is Melchizedek? A king of righteousness. And Jesus comes from that line. The king of righteousness. So, what I'm trying to say this morning is the following. There are significant lines in the Bible that I think we as Christians should understand. Interesting fact is, for example, when you read the lineage of Jesus, it says it was 14 generations from Adam to that point, and then it's 14 generations from that point to that point. So it's 3 generations of 14. Why is the Bible telling that? It's important for the Bible to realize there are some important moments in the Bible that we miss. Interesting about 14 is, when you are looking at the Hebrew, the name David. David, every letter in the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, has a numeral value. So David counts 14. It's an dalet, a vav dalet. It counts 4 and a 6 and a 4 is 14. What is important? It was 14 generations to David. It was David's 14 generations and even 14 generations. It counts 14. David counts 14. And David is the center of salvation, showing the king that is going to come, the big kingship of Christ. Now, let's go to, for example, to Judah. Judah tells the story of Jesus, the line of Jesus. And there are a lot of names that shouldn't be in that lineage. What the people did in the old times, the ancient world, they genealogies, if there was a person that they don't like, they just took it out. Because they would like people to see all the important names in the line. In all of it happens, except in the genealogy of Jesus. They kept all the horrific people in. All the failures. All the foreigners, all the people that shouldn't be there. There are 4 ladies in Jesus' genealogy, and normally they shouldn't be there. Tamar, you can read her story in Genesis. Rahab, you can go and read her story in Numbers. Ruth, Bathsheba, that is all these ladies, and there's a lot of scandals and the scandalous things that people did. They are in Jesus' lineage. People who failed shouldn't be there. Interesting that is true. And this is it. Jesus and his lineage shows he is the king of everybody. His lineage includes sinners, people who failed, people who suffered, people who struggled in a relationship with Christ. It says, when you look at Jesus' lineage, it includes people that were, in a certain sense, in the human way, disqualified to be in that line. And Jesus says, listen, they are part of my lineage. Because I'm the one that will be the king of all people at the end. The interesting thing that I want to tell you is, in, when you read Acts, in the Bible there's a very important person, Barnabas. Barnabas. In Acts 4, verse 36, we read Joseph, a Levite. Oh, now you understand why the Bible specifies that. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. What does Barnabas mean? It is the son of encouragement. He was an encourager. Sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it in the apostles' feet. Later on we read, a good man full of the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? It says, it just want to clarify, this man has a lineage. And what happens is, he is spreading the word of God. He is an encourager in the New Testament. Jesus, why does Jesus come from Judah and not from Levi? Shouldn't he be part of that spiritual, the church people line? Why not? And I will tell you now. Wouldn't it make more sense for the Messiah, the one who will bring the ultimate sacrifice, to become from a priestly line? But then I realized this. The sacrificial lamb needs a priest to prepare the way. Just think about it. So this is the point of all the things that I want to say this morning. The sacrificial lamb needs a priest to prepare the way. So John the Baptist wasn't just the weird, impulsive sort of prophet crying there in the wilderness, eating grasshoppers and honey. What does that priest do? He prepares the sacrifice. He announces the sacrifice. He presents that sacrifice to the people. And that is what John did as the priest line. Look, the Lamb. So that is exactly what the priest did. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he said, there's the offer. There's the offer. He will die. Like we've done so many, many years in our lives, bring an offering. There he is. It's the Lamb of God. It's the Lamb of God. So in the meanwhile, in Genesis 49, when Jacob, Israel, blessed his sons, he says, but Judah, the scepter will not depart from Judah. He will always be the king, always be the king of the world. In the end, and that is what Ronnie and his hallelujah says in Revelations. And he will rule forever and ever and ever. Why? Because Genesis 49 says it will be like that. So because the Messiah would not only save us, but he will reign forever. He would not just only redeem us, but he will rule. And from the tribe of Judah comes the king of the world, as prophesied. And this is the good news, I think. God's great plan of salvation does not end with the death of the sacrifice. Jesus did not remain only the lamb who was slain, but through his resurrection, he becomes the high priest. The high priest. Not through the Levitical line, the Levi people, but a greater, a bigger priesthood. The priest is not bound to a lineage, genealogy, but he was crowned for eternity. It's a priest, and that is precisely the reason why I do this morning. He does not only prepare the sacrifice, he becomes the sacrifice, the perfect, final, offering for whoever lineage and whoever has a genealogy, this is what he does. And this is the story of the Bible. It says the king became the lamb. The lamb became the high priest. And the priest opened the way so that we can become sons and daughters of who? Jesus Christ. So the last ever genealogy in the Bible was Jesus's. And listen what happened now. So God writes the story perfectly in the Bible. And only Jesus can completely fulfill the story of the Bible. And only grace invites us into the story. So what about us now? Let's say the lineage stopped at Jesus' story. So you and I are not part of that tribes. So who are we? And let's say I don't have children and maybe my children reject God. I mean, what is my story then? What will happen? And this is it. It says in Matthew 12:48-50, Jesus says, Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and my sister. Who's that? It's us. It's us. So in Romans 8:29, it speaks of the firstborn. Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So that's us. Not through the lineage, but through salvation. Hebrews 2:11 says, both the one who makes people holy and those who are holy are of the same family. That is why we call one another brothers and sisters in Christ. This is not a lineage, it's salvation into the family of God, of Christ. He saved us so that we can be a family. So that we, once upon a time, somewhere in future, in front of the throne of God, says, and he will rule forever and ever and ever. Why? Because the whole Bible tells this story of how everything is so connected in a beautiful lineage of not in tribe, but salvation in Christ. And in short, this is how the Bible comes together in Christ. He is the way. He is the way so that we can be family. This is the truth of the Bible and how God created all of it together and mixed it so that it becomes the holy story of Jesus Christ and salvation. So the whole story in the Bible, with all these lineages and things, it's all about you. It's all about you and me and Christ who saved us. I hope it makes sense. I've said it is a dear Makar. I've said it's a lot of information, but just realize how important it is. During this week, I had a conversation. I mean, there were quite a few people around, and the one person all of a sudden challenging the Bible, and he said, "Yeah, but he doesn't know. How can I believe the Bible? Because the Roman Catholic Church took away a lot of the information and secretly removed it." Well, and it was just awkward because there were so many people and I couldn't defend anything. But point is, now I can say it because that guy is not here. But there's no evidence that there ever was any chapter of the Bible removed ever. There are certain Bible passages, books that were taken out because it wasn't part of the canon. What's it, canon? What means canon? The canon, the Bible forming processes. But you can go and read it. You can go and read it. But for example, I just want to call one of them, Ruth. The story of Ruth. Why is that in the Bible? It is never, ever say anything about Jesus. Or any prophecy about, no, not really, but it's not speaking about God. Nothing. It's about this mother-in-law with his daughters traveling, and the one met a guy, and they got a son. And that's the only reason why Ruth is in the Bible. I cannot find Ruth now, but Ruth ends. So there's the birth of Obed. Obed was the father of Perez, and out of Perez came David. There's a line again. It's always a line. Let's get the line. So, let's get in line. The Bible is about me and you. It's not about 12 tribes. It's about salvation of people whose lineage is sometimes horrific and failures and full of shame and full of sin. Jesus says, that's why I'm from Judah, to save you. I hope it makes sense. Let's pray. Father, it was right through the Bible, the point of the Bible, your word, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And in the last verses of the Bible and Revelations, Father, we read, you are the Lord. And you will reign forever and ever and ever. And that, Father, was part of the blessing of Genesis 49. You are the Savior. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the intriguing, complex mixture of information that every moment and every letter thereof shows to Jesus Christ, the Savior. And Father, thank you that we can be part of it. Thank you that we can be brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ because of your salvation. Thank you for your word. We pray for our congregation. We pray, Father, for our country. We pray for the elderly. We pray for the sick. We pray for this world that are in such a moment of power playing, violence, and dishonoring, and people, and therefore we pray, Father, for peace around us in this world. Pray for those who are suffering in so many ways. And this morning again we ask, Father, you know our lineage, you know our family, and sometimes we are ashamed, and sometimes we are not even speaking about it. But thank you that you save us and give us a new life. Therefore, we honor you forever and ever. Name of Jesus, out of the tribe of Judah, the Savior. Amen. Well, there are so many things to be grateful of. Let's honor God with the offering. Father, we are counting our blessings. Every single time after offering, we are so aware of the financial context of every single one in our congregation, in our vicinity, and we realize it's not always that easy to give an offering. But thank you for an offering. And we pray that you will bless it so that we can honor you, so that our ministries can be blessed and be active and add value around us and in the world to spread the light and the truth about Jesus Christ. And this we pray in your name. Amen. Just a few announcements. At the doors, you will see there's a special offering for wilderness therapy. The next slide will say something about them. It's part of our church, and it's a non-profit organization based in Windhoek that helps vulnerable young people discover hope, resilience, and purpose through guided experiences in nature. So there it is. So if you want and there's a calling to help, please do so. Then please remember our bazaar next. Is it next week? It's already next week. It is. So please come and join and eat. So come and just enjoy the day. And then the next one is, if you want to have to buy a lunch, well, it's basically that picture. It's AI generated, but it looks like Artables Lai. And so that is called Alma, and make sure you get your plate. And remember, there is card facilities. You can get to it afterwards. And then our Bible study on Wednesday will proceed, but, that canceled. We will not come together on on Tuesday, youngsters. Okay, so sorry for that. Remember to help someone with the daily bread, please, please, please. And another one, I think there is a that is for the school project at the Katatura Hospital and the Central Hospital, where the children still need to get education, but they need stationery and coloring books, as you can see. Please call Irene if you want to know more about this project. Then we are planning outreach to Kokoland and Damaraland. But there are many interventions that is not divine that are standing in our way. But please pray for us. Janko Supi broke his leg, Sarah, and so he cannot join. And the river is in flood, massive flood. So we do have a few obstacles. But as you can see, it is it's the 10th of May. We want to extend it because of the. The expensive diesel these times. If you go there, you need to do your work and stay as long as possible. So if you can join and want to join, please give me a call. Then we can sing. Blessed Assurance. Let's sing the two verses. If you doubt what I've said this morning, every single Sunday you receive the blessing out of Numbers chapter 6. Numbers starts off the census, the descendants of all the tribes, chapter 2, arrangement of the tribal camps, chapter 3, the Levites. Then a lot of names again, the Kohathites, whatever tithes, the Geruah, whatever tithes, the Merarites, and whatever, purity in the camp, the Nazarites, the priestly blessing. And this is it, in the context that we received it every single week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.